Bibles and turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. I have a lot of different experiences here at church when I'm by myself. And this week I had a plethora of experiences. Nearly every day I had two different things that normally don't happen on any given day that I'm at work happen this week. It just was one of those weeks. But one of those happened yesterday while I was preparing for the message, and I was up here on the stage running through music, going over my sermon, and looking through things, and I was playing with the organ setting on the keyboard. And so I had it cranked up like a cathedral in the windows, and I mean, it was probably just echoing in here. I was just having a good time messing around, playing with Be Thou My Vision, and all of a sudden I hear this whack on the front door. And I think, like, I was going to do how loud it is, but I don't want to scare anybody. But I mean, it was just a smack, and I look up, and there's a goat on our doorstep. I kid you not, I am not lying. And then all of a sudden it goes, again, against the window, against the door. And then all of a sudden this dog tears around the corner and is standing on the step going like this. As the goat goes back and forth, and finally the goat stands still and the dog sits down. And then all of a sudden the neighbor lady from across the street runs around the corner, picks up the goat, and goes back. I'm telling you, it was the wildest thing to see this dog and this goat, and how the dog just had this innate sense, this innate craving to secure the goat, because that's what the dog was trained to do, right? The dog was trained, if the goat got out, if the sheep got out, it needs to herd it to a safe place. And it wouldn't stop until the goat was safe. This morning we come to 1 Peter chapter 2. And God is going to tell you and I, he's going to command you and I to have an innate longing, an innate craving, an innate passion so strong, just like the dog for the goat, to make sure the goat is safe, for the Word of God. And we are to pursue, and we are to desire, and we are to long for the Word of God until we are safe, home at last in glory. Peter gives us some wonderful truths. Would you stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's Word? We'll start in verse 1 and read through verse 3 as Peter says, "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." God, you are good. And we experience that so much more than we acknowledge it or that we even realize it. And help us, I pray, through your word and through the preaching of your word, to gain a passion and a craving for your goodness in your word. May we leave here with a true desire and longing to take in your word as often as we can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We've looked at chapter 1, and in chapter 1 we're reminded that we are commanded as Christians to conduct ourselves in three ways. We are commanded to be holy. We are commanded to fear the Lord, and we are commanded to love one another. And as Peter now transitions from chapter 1 and those commands, he explains in chapter 2 how we fulfill those commands. How do I be holy? How do I fear the Lord? How do I love one another? What are some tangible things that I can do or not do to make sure that I am obeying these commands? Now, 2 weeks ago, you'll remember we had the big garbage can up here, and we had Pastor Jeff with 8 shirts on, right? And we were taking off bad habits that were not holy, that were not fearful, that were not loving. And we saw the negative side of removing sinful conduct. But now in chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, he's going to say, now that you take off those things or you put away those things, this is what you have to pursue. This is what you have to crave if you want to obey my commands, if you want to obey God's commands. And it's very purposeful and it's very intentional that when Peter says, if we are going to be holy and if we are going to fear the Lord and if we are going to be loving, we have to first crave the word of God. He says here, long for pure spiritual milk. And this is a command to pursue, to crave, to long for the Word of God. The word long for here has the idea of an intense craving. It's not merely a longing for. It's not merely a craving, but the emphasis of this verb is on the intensity of the craving. Now, most Sunday evenings when I come back from our Bible study on Sunday nights, I come home downright hangry. Hangry. I'm so hungry, I'm angry. Don't judge me. I know you get there too. But it's been a long day. I usually start my Sundays at 5:30, and I usually get home about 7:30. So it's been a long day, and I'm hangry. And most recently, I've had a very strong craving for pizza. So guess what happens because of my craving? Either I or Darla are in the car on our way to town to pick up pizza, to satisfy that intense craving for food. Now, I know that you all have experienced these cravings before, but this is the kind of intense craving that Peter's commanding us to exhibit as Christians. But it's not of pizza. It's of the Word of God, okay? It's so intense that we are not satisfied until we've taken our fill. And the craving that Christians must have is for pure spiritual milk. That is the Word of God. Pure spiritual milk in the ESV is a literal translation from the Greek manuscripts. Some of your Bibles will say pure milk of the Word. Of the Word is in there to help us understand exactly what Peter is talking about. And it is completely true that this is what we are to crave. And to emphasize his illustration and to bring clarity to the fact that he's telling us to crave the Word of God, he explains the Word of God, or he explains this milk in 2 ways. The first way, well, 3 ways. The first way here is that the milk is pure. The Word of God in your outline is pure. The Word of God is pure. Interestingly, this is the only time in the Bible that this word is used. Now, I know we find the word pure in our English translations a lot of times. But in the Greek scriptures, this word for pure is the only time that it's used in the Word of God. And this word is a very specific word that talks about the purity of a liquid or a food. In other words, it has been in unaltered from original form. Nothing has been added to it. Furthermore, nothing has been taken away from it. It's pure. Nothing taken away, nothing added to it. And so what Peter says is we have to crave the pure Word of God, the purest form of God. And where do we find the purest form of God? In our Bibles, right? Now, we are so blessed, are we not? As believers, we are so blessed. We have so many tools, and we have so many books about the Bible. We have books about the Bible that teach us about manners and customs, right? We have books about the Bible that tell us about the Old Testament or the New Testament. And they talk about backgrounds, and they talk about authors and things like that. We have commentaries about the Bible that teach us nuances and about what's going on. We have theology books that talk about biblical theology that runs from Genesis to Exodus in the Scriptures. We have inspirational writings that challenge us in God's Word and compel us to obey. We have books that summarize the big picture of the Bible. We have devotional books that teach us from God's Word how to live our lives. We have apologetic books that speak apologetically why we need the Bible, why God even exists. We've got books about the Bible upon books about the Bible, and all of those are good. All of those are awesome. We are so blessed to have these, but at the end of the day, you know what Peter says? You know what Peter commands us to do? Crave this. Crave the pure Word of God. We have to crave our Bibles. Those are good. This is best. Those are great. This is greatest. And our craving must be for what is best. Let me ask you, when you go to a buffet, do you take what's good or do you take what's best? You take what's best, don't you? Once you've tasted it, you figure out what you really, really like, and you say, oh, I'm going to eat shrimp until I explode because it's the best thing up there. And so you take what's best, and Peter says when we crave, we have to have an insatiable craving for the Word of God, and that means we read our Bibles over this. We read our Bibles over this. We read our Bibles over this. And we read our Bibles over this. Doesn't mean we don't read them, but this is our primary source of nourishment. One of the challenges that I was given about 2 years into coming here as a senior pastor from one of my mentor pastors, he was asking me how I prepare my sermons and the process that I go through, and he said, Jeff, you need to throw away the commentaries until Thursday or Friday. He said, what you need to do is you need to get in the Word of God, and you need to saturate yourself in the Word of God and soak yourself in the Word of God, and you need to formulate and exegete and do all of those other things that preachers do as they prepare that sermon. And then once you've crafted it, once you've allowed the Word of God to speak to you, that's when you bring in things about the Bible. Let the Word speak to you so you can speak to people. Don't let people speak to you so that you can speak to people. It's one of the best, it has been to this point the best advice I've received on preaching. Because it totally changed. There was a flip in my mind that said, yeah, that's it. That's it. And since I've done that, I've seen what Peter is saying. Our craving is to be saturated by the Word of God. But for you, what this means is that before you open the daily bread, yes, I said the daily bread, I know it's the Holy Grail, but before you open the daily bread, open your Bible and read your Bible. Get God's meat before you get man's meat. This means before you read the latest devotional or inspirational book by Charles Stanley or Francis Chan or David Platt or Tim Keller or your favorite spiritual author, pick up your Bible and read your Bible. Crave that. Before you pick up your favorite novel, your favorite biography, your favorite historical book, pick up your Bible and crave that. That's what Peter is saying. Crave the pure Word of God. He goes on and he uses a second word to describe it. He says, the Word is spiritual. The Word is spiritual. The milk is spiritual. And again, Peter uses a unique word. It's only used one other time. It's used in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where Paul compels Christians everywhere, present your bodies as a living and a holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or your spiritual service. It's divinely logical. It's divinely reasonable that you would give your body to God because He's given you eternal life. And so he says, it is divinely reasonable for you to crave the Word of God. Now, using human logic, when you're thirsty and you've got a frog in your throat or you're craving something to drink, right? Makes sense, doesn't it? Makes sense. When your soul is thirsty, and you're spiritually tired, doesn't it make sense? It makes sense. It's divinely reasonable, it's divinely logical that we would go to the source of strength. And God compels us to crave His pure, His spiritual word. Your Bible is God's word to you. The psalmist wrote this, "My soul is consumed with longing for your just decrees." Again in Psalm 119, 131, "I long for your commandments." Would to God that we would crave His word. God, I long for your commandments. I long for your decrees. I crave your law. I desire it. And I want to taste it. I want to consume it. I want to take it into my life. I want to take it into my soul. And I want to live by it. Because just as it's life-sustaining to drink water or to drink liquid every day, it is spiritually life-sustaining to receive God's word on a daily basis. And the application, get ready. It's going to be a hard one. It's going to be one so hard that every Christian of every generation has struggled with it. Read your Bible. That's the application. Read your Bible. I didn't say it was easy, but read your Bible. Crave it. Long for it. Value it. Read the Word of God. And to emphasize the intensity, Peter illustrates a real life example. How do we crave the Word of God? Well, he says we crave it like a newborn baby. Now, I'll tell you, I have advanced training on this right now. But I'm not an expert. She's downstairs, I think. Okay? Because she will tell you at 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. and 7 a.m. and for the last 9 months, what a baby craving milk is like. It wakes him up at night. It causes him to go into a crying frenzy when he doesn't get it. He whines just at the sight of mommy. He literally chases her now. But it also gives him comfort when he's fallen. It gives him peace when he's restless. It gives him sleep when he's tireless, and it gives him nourishment when he's exhausted. You see, that slogan that I grew up with, "Milk does a body good," is so true. But spiritual milk does your spirit the best. You know, Evan is really proficient at knowing what to do to satisfy his craving. "I want it now!" Right? Right? But that's the craving that you and I should have for this. Let that sink in. A craving so strong that it wakes you up at night. A craving so strong that when you look at it, tears are brought to your eyes and you can't help but pick it up. A craving that you're willing to run across the room to grab it to say, "Oh God, help me in my despair." A craving that you search for it in your deepest hurts, in your deepest hurts. You look for answers for your deepest wants. You find it as your source of peace. You find it as your source of help. You find it as your source of comfort. That's the craving that Peter is talking about for your Bible. To long for it like a baby longs for his mom. Bond to your Bible, believer, because it brings life and help and hope and peace through all of the storms of life, but also through all of the blessings of life. And Peter says that there's a great purpose in craving the Word of God. He says the purpose in craving the Word of God is so that you might grow. He says that reveals the purpose, that you may grow up. Grow up has the idea of becoming mature. of increasing in size and stature and responsibility and in knowledge. And in the Bible, it speaks of a child growing up to be an adult. But it also speaks of somebody who is spiritually immature growing up to be mature, to maturing one's faith, one's servants, one's responsibility and obedience. And if we are to be mature in holiness, in the fear of the Lord, and in love towards saints, the way to becoming mature is craving the Word. If you want to be a mature Christian, you must crave the Word of God. And you must satisfy that craving with taking it in. Now, growing up as a kid, I was always looking to that next big thing. And there were a couple big things that were huge in my life. The first one was when I turned 12. Because when I turned 12 in the state of Wisconsin, I got to carry a hunting rifle and got to hunt for real. Now, I will tell you, it just didn't happen overnight. My dad, when I turned 12, just didn't say, "Okay, son, here's your hunting rifle. Go out and shoot something." It's not what he said. Starting from the age of 5, I walked alongside my dad and my grandpas as they hunted, watched their techniques, saw how they did it. I shot thousands of rounds through 22s and BB guns and shotguns and all of the like. I took hunter safety education. And I built trust and rapport with my dad and my grandfathers, and I had to maintain a certain grade in school. And once I had done all of that, I had grown in maturity where they would hand me a rifle to hunt. Likewise, when I was 16, I was longing for, you know, that driver's license, right? But I just didn't turn 16 and they handed it to me. No, I had to grow into it. That started when I was just a young kid helping my grandfather mow the church lawn on his rider. It moved into driving ATVs and snowmobiles and dirt bikes. And then finally, when I was 14 and 15, on special days, my dad would take me to the back roads of Wisconsin and let me drive his old beater around, learning to drive. And then I had to pass the course, and I had to grow to the point where now I was mature enough to receive a driver's license. And this maturity process took time, it took effort, it took study, it took building trust in the small areas so that I could be trusted in the mature areas. I will tell you, friends, that truth remains the same today of our spiritual lives. We aren't saved or born again and then magically we come and we appear to be spiritual giants, mature giants. There is a process of growth, and that process of spiritual growth and spiritual maturity comes how? It comes through what? It comes through craving the Word of God, and it comes through studying the Word of God. We are commanded to have a craving so that we will grow. When I was a kid, we learned this song in Sunday school. Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll... Thanks, Lance, I appreciate that. Grow, 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 right? The simple truth of a child's song is impactful, though, in its application, because that is true for me, and it's true for you, and it's just true whether you're 4 years old or it's true whether you're 93 years old. Read your Bible and pray, and you will grow. And Peter says you've got to do it. You have to have that craving for it. And there are hundreds of tools that will help you. And so, once again, the application is it's so staggering, it's so profound. You know what it is? Read your Bible every day, and you'll grow. The result of it is growth. I know this is really profound, but how many of you at times have struggled with this? I know I have. I know I have. But the truth is, we must crave the Word of God, the pure Word of God, the spiritual Word of God, so that we can find growth. Why do you think we take books of the Bible and preach through them here at Faith? So we can grow. I hope you don't come to hear Pastor Jeff's stories, because Pastor Jeff is not a good storyteller. I hope you're here because the Word of God is being preached. Why do you think we use the curriculum in Sunday school that we use, going through books of the Bible? Because we're focused on the Word of God. Why do we use the Gospel Project on Wednesday nights? Because it goes through the Bible. Why is the center of our ministry the Bible? Because that's where we find growth. That's where we find maturity. And we must make it the center. Here's the deal, friends. If you want big faith, if you want big faith, immerse yourself every day in the Word of God. Take it in, consume it, and then live it. If you're going to obey the commands that Peter gives in chapter 1, you must take in the Word of God. But Peter gives us more here. Because fundamentally, why do you want to do this? What's your motivation for craving the Word of God? What's your motivation for reading the Word of God every day and growing in the Word of God? Peter says it's this. Crave and grow because God is good. If you want to see the goodness of God, you will read your Bible every day. You will crave it every day. Peter here is not questioning these early believers' salvation here. He's not saying, if you're really saved, you'll do this. No. What he's saying is, if you really want to see how good God is, if you really want to experience His blessing, you will crave it and you will grow. And friends, who better to know that God is good than Christians? Who better to demonstrate God's goodness than Christians? Those who have been born again. Those whose sins have been forgiven. Those who have moved to an eternal condemnation in hell to an eternal blessing and bliss of glory. Who better to experience God's goodness and to see it than those who have already tasted it? And if you've tasted it, why wouldn't you want more? Anybody hungry this morning? Alice, why don't you come up here? Will you help me out for a minute, Alice? I got something here for you, okay? You hungry? Okay. I'm sorry. You can take a bite. Okay, thanks. You can go ahead and have a seat. Was it good? Yeah? Did you like it? Yeah, you like donuts?
Yeah.
Do you want to eat it all?
I want to.
Oh. Isn't that the natural inclination? You taste something that's good, and what do you want? You want more of it. Come on up here, Alice. There you go. You want it all, right? You want it all. You want to eat it, and you want to consume it. But why don't we do that with the Word of God? If we have tasted that the Word of God is good, and the Word of God is good, we learned 3 weeks ago from the end of chapter 1 that it is the Word of God that's caused us to be born again. It's the Word of God that's brought us into a familial relationship with God. We are His children. And if we've experienced that on just a foundational level, on a fundamental level, why would we not want to take that? Excuse me. Why would we not want to take this? And eat it all! Right? I mean, it's a silly demonstration, but the truth is the same. We should desire the Word of God and consume it. We should long for it and crave it. It should wake us up at night. It should be the first thing on our thoughts in the morning. The last thing on our thoughts at nighttime. It should be that central focus because it is what has caused us to be born again. And Peter says, crave the Word of God. Crave it because it's pure. Crave it because it's spiritual. Crave it because you've seen that it is good. So why are we so pathetic at reading our Bibles? Why are we so negligent at studying and consuming the Word of God? Why are we so immature? It's because we've lost that craving, that longing. It's because we've tasted that God is good, but we think the world is better. Friends, God's Word is best. God is best. And we live in a country where you can freely open your Bible in one of 39 translations or more, I don't know, and read the Word of God and be filled by it on a daily basis, and to long for it and to look for it and to see God is good. Because as you read it, He is good. Friends, have a holy craving for your Bible. A holy craving for your Bible so that you might grow and be mature. A holy craving for your Bible so that you might grow and that you might mature and that you might see how good God is. Would you stand with me as we pray? Father, thank you for your grace and your love. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we've seen and we can experience your goodness through your word. And Lord, I pray in my own life, forgive me of the failures of not having a proper craving and longing for your word. Give me a holy passion and a holy pursuit to dive into it and to long for it and to consume it. I pray for our church, corporately and privately, that we would be people and saints who crave your word, who grow and are mature in your word, who can testify that you are so good, who are an example to this world that this is worth it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you.